Radio Live.
Superpowers.
Up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology.
It's alive.
Real Live.
Superpowers.
Okay, we're here with Ynon Lendenberg, a serial entrepreneur, well-known expert in the interactive media field, a highly sought-after lecturer at technology conventions, and a featured TEDx conference keynote speaker. Ynon, welcome.
Thank you.
What are you up to these days?
I'm up to helping parents have some more peace of mind about the day-to-day of their children.
And this is through your venture, Bosco.
Right.
So what does Bosco do?
Bosco is a simple app that you install on your phone as a parent and invite your kids to it. We are not hiding it from the kids. We want them to know that the parents care for them. And we try to keep as much as we can the privacy of the kids while analyzing all the data that go to their phone, which is their life. And using very high-end technologies, we update the parents when the kids need their help and intervention.
So what's an example of that?
Well, we are starting from location. We build a very strong geofencing tool, so we know when the kid enters or leaves a safe zone like school, home, after-school activity, grandparents' house. We analyze all the text that goes to the kid's phone, including encrypted messaging like WhatsApp. And we update the parents when the kid is bullied by his friends, when he's threatened by his friends or other people. We analyze all the images that go through the kid's phones or the kid took with the camera. And they update the parents when there is nudity and violence or violence. We analyze the mood of the kid based on tone detection to know when the kid is in stress or threatened by his friends or other people, and more things like that. We analyze the behavior of the usage of apps when the kid is using less communication apps. We understand that he's trying to avoid communication. We analyze the number of friends he has on social media. Today, kids, when they want to threaten one another, they say, "I'm going to unfollow you on Instagram." So we analyze the number of friends. We are doing a lot of behavior analysis based on the technology.
And this is, are you working with psychologists?
Yeah. We have two of the leading researchers in the world from Bradford University that are specific working around the threats on kids in the digital era.
And when you say kids, like how old is a kid? Because I can imagine that at a very early age, kids are shouting and screaming and not enabling their parents to have that peek into their lives.
We are aiming to kids from when they receive their first phone until the age of 15 up to 17.
When do kids receive their first phones?
Depending on the markets. In Japan, it's 6 years old.
Oh my God.
In Israel, it's 7 and 8 months and going down. In the UK, it's a little bit more. In the US, it's around 8 and a half. So depending on on the markets. But the funny thing is that when you give your kid the first phone, it's for you, it's not for them. So you can
call them, know where they are.
Yeah, you want to know where they are. You want to call them, "I came to pick you up, come out." And after 3 to 6 months, they make it their own. So in the beginning, they even forget taking it from home.
Because it doesn't have smartphone facilities? Are these like stupid phones?
No, even if they have smartphones, they are not used to it. It takes them time till they get used to it. Yeah.
But what amazes me about that is, you know, something that I can't even explain to myself. It's sort of like, I call it the love and relationships in technology. Because what I assume is, you know how you love someone very much and you fall in love because they're charismatic. But after you're with them a long time, you start hating it because that thing that you loved is also what other people will love, and maybe jealousy or anything else happens. And technology is the same thing, because I see it as like the example you gave us right now. When I give a child that's 6 years old the telephone, when this has to do with also the startup that you're talking about, I'm actually doing it for myself because I want to feel secure that I know where my child is. And then when at 11, we're saying, "Listen, they're using it too much," Why are they using that phone that much? And it's the exact thing that helped us feel secure. So I feel also in privacy, like I was just asking when that idea, and also when I read about it in the beginning, you're doing something amazing, which actually it actually would help statistically. The more you know, not even if it's in the end game right now, the more you know, the more you can help.
True.
And also, but that's the same thing that I'm going to hate because my child won't do stuff alone, okay. Maybe.
So the phone is not the problem. The problem started much before. When you gave your kid the phone, when you were driving with your car for him to be quiet in the backseat. So when he's 6, 7, 8, this is what he knows. He doesn't know anything else. And you started with that. But you cannot fight it because kids today meet less and less in the physical world and more in the virtual world.
No, I understand. But there's a difference between motivating him and showing him other options. And at the end of the day, he chooses to be on his phone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to give a different that has to do with the startup. Maybe we'll go to the different direction with that because some people would say if the kid has more privacy, then he would have more problems and he would solve more problems. He becomes more independent. If we're eavesdropping or knowing what's going on, maybe we're helping them too much and then they don't know how to help themselves.
Have you guys seen the Black Mirror episode?
Yeah.
You must have, where the mother,
season
like,
four,
within.
Episode two.
Thank you. I mean, you're probably preaching it, but like the mother is in the eyeball of the girl and it escalates to very dark places. But what I think you're doing here is different in the sense that this is sort of like an alarm that only goes off in extreme cases, correct?
Right. So we don't give all the information to the parents, only the actionable things when the kid is threatened or when he's doing. We are trying to help parents know about threats that they even didn't know exist. So we are trying to bring the parents the information they need and the alerts they need without them even knowing they need it. The reason why we are doing all kind of day-to-day things like a location or battery level, we analyze the battery level and we will update you when your kid's phone is less than 15%, is so we will have high retention. Because most of the time, your kids are okay. But you need to have our app in 2 years from now when something will happen.
Right.
It's a very complicated thing. You know, like people pay to use our app in order not to use it. It's like insurance.
Right.
You don't want to use your insurance.
Right.
And you don't feel a sucker when you didn't use it in the end of the year.
And Inan, this is like a passion project of yours?
It is passion. It started from a need I had as a parent to 3 kids. Where I understood that there is nothing that is suitable for the change in the childhood and the parenthood that we have today.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't understand it in the early ages of my kids. It took me time to understand that, you know, their childhood totally changed and my parenthood as a parent totally changed and the way I was educated by or raised by my father.
What's like the biggest difference in your opinion?
I think the biggest difference is that it's 2 things. The first thing is punishment. We don't have punishment today.
Why?
I don't know. We decided that we're not going to beat our children. We're not going to lock them in the room. We decided, you know, we were brainwashed that it's a bad thing. And maybe because we suffered from that. And we decided that we're not going to do it. But I think the biggest challenge is that we get much less respect from our children as parents. Because for me, the smartest person in the universe was my father. When I had to know something, I asked him. He gave me the answer. And I don't know if it was right or wrong, but I had no way to challenge it. Today, whatever I say at home, my kids will challenge me on Google. So in 50% of the time, they'll say, Dad, you're wrong. So they even don't ask me. They asked me once. I didn't answer fast enough. So they went to Google. And from then, they stopped asking.
So it's about knowledge. And you're not the knowledge source
right.
that you
it's
use.
It's not respect. Only, it's respect. Because what is your position in the house? You know, you don't punish them. They don't give you respect as someone who is very smart.
But you used to respect your parents because they were your knowledge source.
Yeah,
and
but
since that shifted, I think the respect went with it.
But they were much more than that. They were everything for me. They were my channel of communication. When I wanted to go to a friend, I used to ask my mother to set me a meeting, you know, with a friend. Today, they don't need us. Like, you know, it's a very complicated time. It's also for them changed dramatically, you know. We have 10 times more cars in the streets than we had 20 years ago. The bullying, you know, we were bullied in school. We came back home. We had a relief until the following day. For them, it's crazy. They come back home and it follows them into cyberbullying. And like everything is like on steroids. Everything is like much more multiplied.
Scary.
Yeah, it's, and you know, the fact that they have information, it goes to all around. You know, they see on the story on Instagram all the time what their friends are doing and where they're not invited to. So you don't even need to tell them anything. They feel bullied without being bullied. So it's a lot of challenges that, to be honest, we cannot change. We can't take it back. You know, the fact that I'll give my kid a dumb phone when he's young, you know, I'm actually...
No, you don't know a challenge because you're saying negative stuff. I'm going to give you the opposite.
Yeah.
They don't need to ask you, which is a self, like, it's a respect thing. On the other side, they know everything and they can learn anything and they're open up to anything.
Of course.
Which is a giant advantage I would want it too when I was younger.
Of course. The kids today are much more smarter than... They have much more information and sources of information. Some will challenge and say that they don't have the depth. It's only on the surface. It's much wider, but less deeper.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
But let's be honest, who needs all the depth in this
it's
information?
It's a new world.
So if they want to know something, they can learn about it. They have the access. So there are a lot of benefits. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about the benefits. You know, I'm trying to prevent the challenges and the problems. But definitely, you know, this is something that you can't go back. It's like, it's too good.
Right.
It's too good. It comes with a lot of challenges. You know how many people died from car accidents 140 years ago? Zero. There weren't cars. But I can tell you that one of the things that we are using a lot to show the challenges of technology is we are not talking about cars. We are talking about bicycles. You know, so many people die from riding on a bicycle or from an accident or from falling. And then we started to ride with helmets, but people go on riding on bicycles because they find the good side of it, or for transportation, or for sport, or whatever.
Right.
We don't stop riding bicycles.
All right.
The same thing here. The challenges, but are becoming more and more complicated. The screen time that the kids have is rising dramatically all the time. But you know, from time to time, I meet people that are crazy. They go with two mobile phones and one Apple Watch. And, you know, how can you complain about a child?
I get it.
Okay.
Get
it. How can you complain about a child? You know, we are all the time on the phones. If you check in the end of the day how much time you were on the phone,
yeah,
it's an average 4.5 hours. Especially if you're using a little bit Waze and you're watching some YouTube.
I get it. The phone is amazing. It does so many things.
So there's no way back.
There's no way back. This is the new world.
Also by privacy. That's why I think what you're developing is amazing, because you started saying about, you know, in the beginning you started, you said the children also know about the app and they allow it.
Right.
But of course, like I'm thinking of the difference. I'm using Waze to get home faster and giving out where my address and where my girlfriend is and what I'm doing all day, like everything I'm giving out, and I'm going to have a problem giving that out. That's helping me getting home. This is helping me save my kids. So
yeah.
Privacy is not an issue. Google knows.
No, the privacy issue is from the kid's end. But as you know, I'm saying, you don't ask the kid.
Yeah, but the kid has Instagram and.
Okay, the kids don't think about privacy like we think about.
Of course not.
Because they don't know anything else. You know, you still are coming from an era where you had some privacy. They didn't ever have a privacy, and they don't care about privacy. They understand the benefit of giving their information. They understand that if they give their information, they will have
a better experience,
a more personalized experience. They will have their Instagram will arrange content that is relative to them. So they don't care about that. But, you know, from a legal point of view, we are actually taking the consent from the parents, because, okay, let's be honest, it's illegal for kids to, when they install an Instagram, they lie about their ages.
Right.
So it's illegal for them to install anything. So when a parent installs the app, he will give us the consent to collect the information, but only for his use. We are not sending it to any third party. It's like,
can they not delete that?
it's complicated, but they can because, you know, they are better than the parents on technology. So they can, but the parent will get an alert on that. So what are you trying to hide from me?
Right.
And let's talk about
that. Right.
Now, you know, when you're talking about installing apps like this on your kid's phone, in the end, we need to be parents. It's just like, you know, like kids hate riding with a helmet.
Right,
and
right.
We make them ride with a helmet. The same thing here. You want a phone, you will have something that will give me some
so
peace of mind.
So what's the status of Busco these days?
Well, we have 450,000 users globally. Nice. Have a subsidiary in Singapore for distributing in Southeast Asia. We are working on partnerships with distributors globally. We are launching this week in Brazil and in Mexico with two different distributors.
Congrats.
Do you have like a thank you story? Like, is there a story like where you said to myself, oh my God, I'm so happy I made this application because...
Look, it's very complicated to get reactions from parents on this issue because...
But it has to be something bad that happens.
Yeah, so they're a little bit embarrassed to say that they're using it. And they when something bad happens, it's more complicated because they feel that it's their fault.
Right, right.
So, you know, these are things that people are writing about us publicly on the stores and sending us emails. And it's like, it's amazing. It's the retention is very high. Once they subscribe, they go on...
What are you looking at?
That the software is really good. You know, it also helps. It protects the children, but also they are less scared on a daily basis, which is really important. But more importantly, is on the other side, they get really quick response. So even if they get stressed out, they get their response really quickly, and they're very happy about the application itself. So yeah, their fault is a good one.
These are things that we are receiving all the time, and you know, it's very unusual that 50% of our users on their first payment they pay for a yearly subscription, mm-hmm. and not a monthly subscription. So they get a 2 weeks free, and after the 2 weeks, they understand they are going to use it for a year, and they want to get the discount on a yearly basis.
What kind of a UI analyst do you send to the parents? So how did you decide to make a UI that the parents would understand and like?
It's all built in a way that you have a dashboard as a parent where you can actually see all the highlights. So this is like the apps. This is the number of pictures we analyzed today. This is the tone detection. Okay, messages. You can see back and forth. But you get a daily report in the end of the day with the highlights of everything we analyzed. And if there are problems, you got them as a push. But if not, you just can see what we analyzed. We analyzed enormous amount of data.
So people can't see this. So I'm just going to say to them. The beautiful thing about it is if I'm a parent, then like it's very simple. There's nothing complicated. And it's very macro level, right?
Yeah.
So what happens if I want to get due diligence on like the fence of this 92-in-1?
Yeah. So, okay, I have here, but you can see only the problematic message itself. Okay, the conversation before and
right.
after. But you can't see all the messages we analyzed. So you only get the problematic messages.
Now, another thing. I'm guessing, I'm not a child anymore, unfortunately, but I'm guessing today the amount of language and pictures mm-hmm. are insane, just in my WhatsApp groups, that are... very old. I get weird ass pictures. So I'm just thinking they get the amount that's indescribable.
Yeah.
How do you know the difference? How do you differentiate between the, you know, dangerous ones than the normal mainstream ones?
So actually our partners for development is Panasonic company. And we developed with them very strong AI machines that are looking for a specific analysis. So, you know, if we're going on images, let's say, we are not trying to understand what's in the image. Okay, we are looking for specific objects. You know, not like when Google is analyzing an image, they try to understand what's in there. Is there a Coca-Cola can? Is there a microphone? Is there a human body or whatever? And then try to use it. We are looking for nudity, we are looking for violence, we are looking for a knife, we are looking for fire, we are looking for a breath, we are looking for specific things in the images. Once we find them, we can analyze another level. So As an example, if we see like a young girl wearing a bra, we will take it to another level of analysis, and then we will try to understand what's in the image. And then we want to see if there is, by mistake, in the behind her a beach, a swimming pool, grass, sun. It means that she's with a bikini, because the machine doesn't know if it's a Victoria's Secret or a swimming suit. If we see a neon light or a toilet or a mirror, it's a problematic image. So we are going specific on the things that we are looking for and the problematic things. With the use of the research we are doing from the psychological side and the reactions we are receiving from the parents, because the parents can give us a reaction to every alert we send them, we improve our text analysis and our image analysis all the time.
Right.
So it's like two levels of analysis.
And how would you answer to who looks over the Overwatcher?
So when we are doing a training session every month to the platform itself, because there are all kinds of things. Like just as an example, okay, you're coming from North America. In North America, there is a new slang word for penis every year.
Okay. What's
like
this
the
year's?
Austin Powers.
What's this year's?
Like perk is an old one. I don't remember all.
Okay.
But there is
just want to be trendy.
There is every year a new. We actually receive from a community that we have of parents the new threats that they think they are around them, and there are parents that are very involved, specifically not being any racist, but it's specifically women. You know, when we look today on our 450,000 users, we have a feature that the mother and the father can decide what kind of alerts they want to receive on the same child. So the father only wants to receive, in average, nudity and text analysis, and the mother wants everything and actually asks for more. So for us, from a marketing point of view, it's like the best thing in the world. It's the most viral audience in the world. It's moms.
Right.
So once they are satisfied with something, they start to
explode.
Send everything on their WhatsApp groups, moms of this kindergarten.
That varies in between cultures too. Like I'm thinking like the psychologists they have or anything, it's so different if I'm talking about, let's say, North America, Latam or Israel. Like it should be like what would be maybe in, I'm sorry, I'm saying this out of no knowledge. What would be maybe an insult or aggression in Turkey is something totally different than the U.S.
It's true. And for that, our machine is working on three levels. So the first level is like you can imagine the basic algorithm that is analyzing things in average. Then the second level will be the local analysis. Of course, a girl in Indonesia that goes with a short sleeve is a problematic image.
Right.
So then we have the local analysis. And on top of all of that, we have the personal analysis. So in the first few weeks, we learn the child itself. You have kids that use a lot, say a lot fuck in their text. And their parents don't care about that. So if the kid says a lot of fuck in his world, in his communication, we stop alerting on fuck. Unless we find it as something that is aggressive against him. So when I tell you fuck you, it can be also a slang for you're joking, and kids use it a lot.
Right.
But when someone says I'm going to fuck you and I'm going to beat you up, and this is something we want to alert.
Right.
So we have the basic algorithm, we have the local algorithm,
and that's why you're using distributors, because you said before
Well, we're using distributors for two main reasons. The first one is to help us in the localization. And the second thing is for distributing. You can't expect to sit in the Silicon Moshav in Rishpon and take over Mexico or Turkey
But taking over, you're talking about the application. So
yeah, but you need to do marketing. You need to have PR. You need to have a face in the market. You need to have moms that rely on you. In a year from now, it's going to be mandatory. When you will give your kids a phone, they will have an app that analyzes. It won't be a question. Now it's a transaction error.
Yeah,
we are still.
And what's the business model?
$5 per month.
Right.
From a parent.
Oh, I'm a client. I'd get it like before I'm asking these questions. out of honestly, but I know myself and I'm data reliant, and I already gave up on privacy as a notion once I want to be, you know, my life is so efficient today.
Look, but
I have to give up on privacy.
For your kids, you know.
I've been talking to Google privately since like 1999. He knows everything. More than my wife or anybody else.
No, that's sure. But so. Look, but our parents had like a personal diary that we used to write. And they could read it from time to time at night. And, and they were very smart.
We had less time on the phone. They actually had to talk to us.
Yeah. And look, they heard when we fought with our friends. They could pick up the landline from the the bedroom and listen. You don't have all that. So actually, by law, your kids don't have any privacy until the age of 18. All the privacy is owned by you. You are the official apotropos. Since we are not selling the data to any third party, we are analyzing the data for you. We're not replacing you. You still need to be the most amazing dad in the world. Mm-hmm. But we are bringing you more information that you don't have now. You don't see when your kid is standing in the street and speaking with a stranger. Your parents could see when you were speaking with a stranger. You can't see when your kid is street. He can sit by you on the sofa in the weekend and text with all the world. You don't know who he's speaking with. Or when they're playing on their Fortnite with their microphones and headphones.
And what would you say the end game is? Like, if you see this at the end, what do you think it's going to be?
For the end of what?
This product. Like, it's going to get to a point.
It's going to grow to be millions of users, subscribers. It's going to be a very successful company that is going to be sustainable. And it's going, look, when you want to do something good, you can go and raise donors to give you money and donate. And then you need to go on raising donations all the time. It's like, it's not a business. It's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Here, we believe that we can build a very profitable business that will be sustainable and will be a very high valued company.
Do you have competitors?
Oh, there are some competitors.
That's most a good
of
thing.
Them, yeah, most of them, but are coming from the old times of the computers. They started as like all kind of antivirus companies, mm-hmm. Norton and so on.
Oh,
That
still exist?
Yeah, they still exist. Yeah, they have a solution. McAfee, companies like that. Most of them are coming from a parental control point of view, which they still think they can control their kids. But, you know, when you go to YouTube and you search for how to bypass this or that company, you will find 1.5 million videos of kids showing how to bypass it. And the simplest way is
parody.
To just use Safari browser and then no one can.
By the way, what do you do with the apps like Telegram?
We analyze everything.
Everything. Amazing.
No, but that was actually my next question. I was wondering this. How many kids do you have involved in this project?
From our side?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have communities in markets. Like in Israel, we have 5.
Because that would be the key factor. Yeah. Like you don't know what you're searching for, but they definitely do.
Yeah. But more than that,
they're the rats.
We are getting more and more.
Like, you know, you don't know. It's just, as you said, I agree with him. I'm in a transaction right now, right? Between what I was in a child and what I feel right today, it's not the same difference. They're living it today. So they probably have 7,000 things that I haven't thought of.
But look,
as opportunities.
The transaction will disappear. And, you know, you won't have any doubts once you hear something that happened.
Yeah.
No, I understand that.
Parents are hearing more and more. It's like it's in
but
one day
you are
transformed from a child to a parent. It's like, you know, I see a lot of my friends are trying to be their best friends of their kids. And, you know, it's like, okay, you are not supposed to be their best friend. You're supposed to be their parent. So you can be a good parent. You don't need to spank them. You don't need to punish them. But you don't definitely don't need to be their best friend. They have best friends. So, I think that it's like once your child is around 6, 7, 8 years old and you start to hear about the challenges and you start to understand that your kid is also going through these challenges, it's a no-brainer. It's like there is no question. You're going to use a technology like that. So, it's very interesting. It's very interesting to see it growing. It's building up now much faster. It's a long process. We're working on it around 3.5 years. And now that we went to the MWC in Barcelona, we started to talk with the potential partners. And now that the partners are starting to roll out, and we see more and more Instagram pages Indonesia, in Turkey, in Mexico, in, like it's amazing to see it growing. So now we only need to turn it into a profitable company.
Incredible. This is not the first time you're going to turn a company.
Yeah, but this is like
profitable.
It's but this is we're doing good, you know. It's
yeah, like, weren't you doing good
not,
before?
Value.
It's not creating new problems to people.
What, is that what you were doing till then?
Yeah,
take us back a bit.
Most of the things we do in the tech is creating new technology. We're talking new challenges. We're talking now about the phones and the challenges that the phones are bringing. So I was a long time in the digital marketing era.
When did you enter that field? Like, how old were you?
1998.
So I'm very curious. I want to understand, like, before you feel like you were doing stuff that's what was meaningless before because you spent. I mean, you have quite a lot of you've gone through quite the journey.
Yeah, I think that you know, in some time. You know, after motivating people to consume more things and spend more money on things they don't need, I think it's like you're looking for some, you know, to do something meaningful with all the experience. So not only make money.
No, it's Maslow classic yeah. Maslow. You know, survival. You made it well. You've done well for yourself. Now you want to do well for others because you can afford it, and it's a great thing, by the way. I get it.
So how do people replicate that? If I understand correctly, you're saying like you sort of took some sort of path to make money and now...
I was young. I was 26 years old. I didn't know anything else.
When you founded your
first
company?
Yeah, Ideologic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything else. It looked cool. It was internet. When I was walking in the street and someone said ICQ, I turned around and said, okay, this is my brother. You know, people weren't there. So it was unique. So... And it was relatively easy. We were the best in what we did because we were the only ones. So, like,
and weren't you passionate about what you were doing?
Oh, of course, I loved it. But in some stage, you understand that you're not bringing value.
What were you doing then? Because I want to believe that a business will only be successful if it's bringing value, or if it's corrupt.
Yeah, but no, okay, not corrupt. But
I'm sure,
but. We brought value, you know, we helped Coca-Cola sell more cans. We helped Ford Motor Company sell more cars. We helped, you know, Cellcom sell more mobile phones. We helped them, you know, we brought them value. They paid us good money and we gave them a good product. But, you know, when you are alone at home at night and you think about what value are you bringing, you know, in general, it was like, you know, it's like...
Actually, this is the thing that I'm hearing a lot. I understand exactly what he's saying because what he's saying is we had this conversation.
Yeah,
it's
we
an
did.
Impact.
Yeah.
So the impact is different. He had an impact. He had an impact on B2B businesses and helped the economics grow. But as a person, especially when you, I think it also has to do with a little bit of responsibility, you feel a little bit more responsibility, sort of like, what kind of king are you? Are you a king that goes out every night, you know, into a party and gets drunk and go to sleep? Are you a king that wants to be building economics, or a king that wants people to say, or yourself to feel that you're helping out society? You can choose. Every king is okay.
So I'm curious, like, what went on in your head, like, when you were in Ideologic? Were you starting to sort of feel this ease and that you want to do something more impactful? Or was it something that you felt in retrospect after you sold that company? Like, what went through your head?
Look, I'll tell you. I was feeling that I want to do something that I'm more proud of what I'm doing and not only proud of the results. Okay, so yeah, the results were amazing in Ideologic. We were winning all kind of prizes around the world. We had the best clients in the world. The company was big and stable and making a lot of money and everything was okay. But I think that in the end, you want to be more, again, when you are alone at home, you want to be proud of what you're doing and not only of the results. And I think that, you know, for me today, okay, the results are not good enough, not yet. They are going to be amazing, but they are not good enough for my expectation. But you know, when you ask me what I'm doing, I'm so proud to say what I'm doing. You know, I'm so proud to talk. I can talk with you now about parenting for weeks.
You're on a mission.
So maybe, but, you know, it's not the main thing. The main thing is to build a successful company, by using this mission. But, you know, it's like, you know, when you ask someone in gaming or in gambling, what are you doing? He starts to sweat, you know? It's like,
Or he doesn't. No, but I think it's the difference between you're enjoying now the journey instead of the result. It's having fun on the journey. You know, like, you're kind of fun. There could be someone else that has really fun because he's a big gambler, right?
I'm saying people that develop technologies for gaming, for gambling. You know, when I talk with them, it's like, you know, when I want to recruit, I want to recruit someone that comes from a company like that.
Apologizing, I see.
And I'm telling you, okay, at night when you go with your friends to a bar, when they ask you, what do you do? And then, don't you want to be proud of what you were saying?
I'll tell you, I'm sorry to be a douche here, and you can attest that I mean what I'm saying here. Thank you for always being there. No, but I do not work with people from those industries, like, as a policy. Like, I'm uncomfortable with, I want to work with people who I think their moral, their heart is in the right place.
Okay, so you decide what kind of queen you want to be, which is fine.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my point of view. My point of view, there's no wrong and right. This is who you want to be.
Of course.
He's saying there's people who sweat. I agree. There's also people who are doing that are not sweating. Like, you know, I can give a few examples of, you know, Sheldon Harrison's and Teddy Zagis. They're okay with it. Are they fine? They're very proud of what they're doing. I doubt if they sit at night at home, they're saying they're apologizing in any way. But I totally understand that everybody has to find what they're proud of. So they're proud of today, by the way, the result of doing that, they can now buy buildings or help politics. They took it also in their own direction. So if you ask them what they're doing, they're not doing that.
Can't you say that about yourself too? I mean, you didn't do anything.
Yes, this is the direction he's taking it.
You know, it's a complicated issue of what can you allow yourself to be proud of? And I think that, you know, from my point of view, okay, I'm 47 years old, I think, 46. I think that I want to do something that that I'm more proud of the results of the venture itself and the impact it gives. And, you know, it's so complicated. I'm 2/3 of my time on planes around the world. But and I don't see my family, and we're working crazy hours.
Which is ironic.
But I know what's happening.
Now we're getting to the
business. That's why you really made the application, yes. Right?
I'm working in Asia, and I'm working in North America and in South America, so it's around the clock. And Israel is the best place in the world to be, because the Asians are, you know, they are awake early morning, and the South Americans are awake late hours in Israel, so you work 24 hours. But then you get a response like this from a parent. And it fuels you up. And then you get an email from a parent saying, thank you, I found this and that on my kid's phone, and it's amazing that they're doing it, and I didn't know they're doing things like that.
But don't you think that's kind of your sauce for success? Let me go backwards. I'm going to challenge that for a second. Was it every time it's just an evolution of yourself? Because I'm sure that you said the same sentence, I'm sure, without even asking that, on your first or second company, you found yourself, like, what your KPI is, what your thing is for success. It wasn't... Today it's evolution, so it's a lot bigger today on that feedback, but you probably had that fuel feedback from something else, a P&L, a profit, an exit, or whatever. And then the next stage, so this is the next evolution, like the next time you have to solve world hunger, or else you won't go to sleep.
Just
that kind of person.
Look, I agree. You're challenging yourself. Of course we had the... I was very happy when I got a Coca-Cola as a client, or another big client, or won a global pitch or tender. Of course. And definitely the dividend in the end of the year, and the growth of the company, and selling the company, and all of that. But you know, it's like in some time you understand that it has no substance. Like it's not enough. It's not enough. Look, a lot of people work in the Israeli electric company, or work in, I don't know, in public companies or whatever.
Or behind a cubicle somewhere.
I don't understand that.
Let's understand that. What don't you understand?
So many things that I don't want to get in trouble with people.
So no, let's do this opposite on yourself. Why do you think you like that?
Why I like it? Because Because, you know, you're growing something from zero. It's like you're building something that
doesn't exist. Why do you want to grow something from zero?
This is what I think. This is the skill set I have. This is the passion I have. I think that when you see, like, you know, going through all the challenges, enormous amount of challenges and pressure that, you know, that entrepreneurs don't sleep too much. Not because they don't have the time, because they can't fall asleep of the stress they have all the time and the tasks they have in their head.
Did that ever sort of diminish or, you know, become lower, the stress levels? Or no. Is it always a constant?
No, it only gets higher. It never goes lower. As much as, you know, in the beginning, it's very high because you are looking for funding and employees and markets and development and R&D and all kinds. Very stressful. And then you think that it's very stressful, and then suddenly you start to grow, and then you're responsible also for the clients, and you have more employees,
and
you
team.
Have more. Yeah. So it's always there. It's,
so what do you do?
You enjoy it. You enjoy it. You can't live without it. You go on a vacation for 1 week. After 2 days, you get crazy from doing nothing.
So you're addicted.
You enjoy the doing, you know? You enjoy.
What can excite your kids? Okay. What can you think gives more dopamine, okay, than building something that wasn't existing and suddenly see it exist? Like, what do you want to compete with that? He's having fun on the vacation. Well, what can compete with that? What is that? That's heavy drugs? What kind of feeling? You're making something from zero. Your kids are the only thing that I can imagine that respectfully have a competition between those two.
Look, in the beginning, we used to go on vacation. I used to take a laptop with me. Now that we have the smartphones, you don't need to bring a laptop because you can do a lot of things through the smartphone. So, but anyways, I go on taking a laptop because it's easier to do it on a laptop than on a smartphone. So I think that it's you can find the balance.
How did you find that what was your skill set, though? Like, what was the pivot moment?
I think that, first of all, I never worked for anyone.
I wanted to ask.
Yeah, I never worked for anyone. Once I tried to get a job and they didn't want to hire me.
Where was that? Like, not specifically the name of the company, but what did you want
to
do?
I wanted to work on on NetVision.
Okay.
I'm from Haifa.
So we right.
NetVision. And they didn't hire me. To be honest, today I understand that I wouldn't hire myself as well. But over the time, I learned that this is what I like to do. You know, I didn't come to be an entrepreneur because I wanted to work for myself and not have a boss. And decide when I want to wake up in the morning. I knew from day one that if I work for myself, I work 10 times harder and I'm 100 times more stressed. It wasn't a surprise for me. Right. Most of the people are surprised that when they open their own company, they work much harder and they are more dedicated to
their worst boss.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're responsible for everything. So it wasn't a surprise for me. I can say that working today with a team of the best experts in every field that we have today on Bosco. My CTO is much more experienced for me. My UX UI is much more experienced for me. My COO is much better than me.
Are you maybe now more mature and able to spot that? And maybe when you were younger, you sort of felt like you were better or know more than everyone?
Without being arrogant, when we started the digital agency, it was very complicated for us to recruit good people. It was very complicated. We had to raise them. We had to take young people. Some of them, in the beginning, definitely, there are people that couldn't find work in the marketing field. And we had to teach them how to do. Now, we knew nothing.
Were you looking for, like, the outcasts?
Oh, of course. But they didn't want to come to us. They wanted to do TV ads. No one came to us. It's like, you know.
So you had the vision, and you were ahead of your time in some sense.
I don't know if I was ahead of my time, but you
because
know,
it proved.
Was the early. Yeah, it was the early time. But we had to learn everything by ourselves, and we had to read a lot. So we had to train a lot of people. We had to tell them what to do. In the beginning, we had to guide a lot. We had no other option. After 2 or 3 years, we built ourselves a brand, and we managed to recruit amazing people. So I could have ideas, And I tried to convince the team to do what I wanted. But, you know, you can't take someone that is like an expert and tell him what to do. He will leave you. So
also why take them if you want to tell them what to do.
Right. There are people that do it for their ego and all kinds of things like that.
Or for they're scared, maybe. Because some of them scared about their position.
Yeah. So I never had a problem like that. And definitely today I don't have it as today I have the best people in the world. So it's like,
what would you say today is your superpower?
I think that I'm very, very, very good with people. The fact that I make a lot of friends and like it's very easy for me to connect with people on a personal level. Which in the beginning can scare people, you know, in the U.S., in North America, they don't like it. Like in Asia, okay, man, you are asking someone about his kids and he's like,
step back.
You invaded his private zone. And for me, it's like, it's very natural, the relationships come. And I think this is...
Have you break that ice?
Yeah. Yeah. I have friends everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world, I have good friends that I can call them and get their help or advice.
It's a great superpower. And your kryptonite?
My kryptonite. I think it's my family.
A really powerful answer. That's sort of a closed loop now for Bosco. It's almost philosophical.
You saw my business card.
Yeah.
I'm a founder and dad. On the other side, it's pictures of my kids.
So, right. Which I wanted to say, just that it wasn't a good timing, but I think this is one of the best business cards that I've seen in the world.
Can I see?
In the world, though.
Thank you, sir.
Not because of its niceness, graphic designer way. As a concept, this is going to be an extreme compliment. It's not because we invite you here for the podcast. When you say you're good with people, this bringing yourself and making you human and personal, I think this is a perfect card.
Because there's a picture of your family and of your kids on every single one, and it's a different. There's different versions.
Yeah.
Are you A/B testing
it's
with
not
them?
Only that, it's also the title. It's in the subtleness. Because he's a founder and a dad. And people don't understand, well, this is from an older self-being of someone who's had kids today, when you actually have two things that you're fully doing. It's what you do, which is okay, and what you do at home.
Yeah.
And these are your real two titles, no matter who you are.
Yeah, but I got to put the cynical hat here and say that it serves your app very directly.
Okay, so
that's fine. That's fine. It's still in me. I just said, I would do it anyways because this is becoming personal. Because you know what I have in common? You're not in the industry of making applications of children. Yeah, are you a mom?
Mm-hmm.
We have something in common. Nice to meet you. And that's why it's incredible. I really like it. So I just wanted to...
And I can also attest that you are a people person, 100%.
Look, it's, I'm telling, from time to time, we have like a very important meetings with all kind of people that are a little bit in the beginning, full of themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I always remind my team, you know, they can be whoever they want and do whatever they want. And like, okay, in the end, we all go to the toilet together.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
really
all humans.
Together?
No, sorry. Go the same way to
kidding.
The toilet. So it's like, you know, in the end, they're all humans. So you can find a way
to
everyone.
You got the BS.
You can find a way to everyone. So, yeah.
And you're actually doing a few other ventures these days too, right?
Yeah, but this is...
Like, I know this is the core one,
yeah.
But you want to like in a few
sentences...
Nah,
this is
you
my wanna, major.
You want us to focus on Boston.
Yeah, let's
this is
focus.
Like,
life is short.
Well, there's always Google, like if anybody wants to go into it, right? There,
yeah.
No, I do recommend people to actually Google Inon's name simply because he's modest and there's a lot of ground that we didn't cover.
Never mind. We covered the important ground and let's do good with whatever we create.
And for and Bosco, it's for iOS, Android, anybody can download this, correct?
Right. In every language, everywhere in the world.
Oh, and there's also different languages already. Like,
yeah, we have already nine languages. It's only for the text. All the rest, of course, works multilingual, and we're adding more and more languages for your neighbors. In 2 weeks, we're going to have French. Everyone is French year round.
Yeah,
in Tel Aviv, yes.
So
there's a transition happening in French.
But it's only in the summer.
No,
really?
No,
not a French people.
I need to go out more.
Yeah, we just added the Portuguese for launching Brazil, Spanish, And now we're, the next language is going to be French. We have already Chinese, Japanese, Indonesian, English, Hebrew, Arabic, Netherlands. Right. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, that was great. And what I wish for you is something that I think you're doing our whole life, just continue doing. Keep on making up another thing to inspire you to get up every morning and challenge yourself, because you're doing a good job with that. And it's just growing.
Thank you so much.
And keep being stressful, because people can enjoy some products from you.
Of course. There is no other way to do it.
Thank you, Inon.
Thank you. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Real life.
Superpowers.
Life.
Superpowers.